Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome to Chip Chat. I'm Allison Klein. Today I'm delighted to be joined by Paul Messina, Director of Science at Argonne Leadership Computing Facility, Argonne National Laboratory. Welcome, Paul. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you, Allison.
Well, why don't we start the interview by just introducing Argonne Lab and how it relates to the U.S. government and what you do there?
Sure. Argonne National Laboratory is actually the oldest of the Department of Energy laboratories. It's a multipurpose lab that was founded initially in 1946 to study the ways to use nuclear energy for nuclear power plants. But because the issues involved in doing that kind of research involved chemistry, material science, math, physics, and so on, it quickly became a multipurpose lab. And it's now one of the Office of Science, General Purpose Laboratories of Department of Energy. Within Argonne, one of the divisions is this Argonne Leadership Computing Facility, which is an international user facility. People from around the world put in proposals, and a few are chosen to take advantage of this unique resource. My role as Director of Science is to try to attract the best computational science and engineering research possible, get people who are doing the best research to come and use the Argonne facility. And if they are awarded time, I try to oversee how we support them, how we help them be successful.
The scope of science underway at Argonne is quite extensive. Can you give some examples of the types of scientists that are studying at Argonne National Lab or using Argonne National Lab resources for their science?
Certainly. A fraction of our users happens to be Argonne scientists because they too are in many cases leaders in their field and have the type of research that requires very high-end computing. So one of the efforts that's quite important at Argonne has been for the last few years is the design of new batteries, batteries that could be used for automobiles and many other uses. In fact, the battery that is used in the Chevrolet Volt was designed at Argonne, and General Motors makes it under a license agreement with Argonne. But as everyone knows, those batteries are not good enough, and so there's extensive both experimental and computational research that's aimed at identifying new materials that would lead to batteries that are much better. It is hoped within 5 years, one could get batteries that can have five times the range for an automobile. So you could go 500 miles in between charges and would cost five times less. Argonne also has an accelerator. It's called the Advanced Photon Source. And it can be used to discover the structure of many materials and their properties. One example is the structure of proteins. So once the structure of certain proteins are determined, then transfer the data to the big computers and analyze them and try to get important information from them. One example is a superbug, one of these bugs that so far no one has been able to discover an antibiotic that will cure it. The structure of this superbug was determined in this way, and it is now understood through extensive computation why this superbug is able to resist all known antibiotics. So now there's a hope of being able to design new antibiotics that get around the defenses of this superbug. Other projects that are going on led by other institutions include things like designing jet engines that are quieter and more efficient, or designing features of commercial airplanes, again, will be more reliable, lighter, and require less fuel. Something in which Argonne has been involved is wind energy. Now, with the new system from Intel and Cray, the Aurora system, we not only will be able to do a better optimization of the individual wind turbines, but be able to optimize the placement of the turbines relative to each other through extensive simulation and computation, which will be made possible by Aurora. We believe we'll be able to make very substantial progress and make it cheaper, more reliable to use wind energy, which is, of course, a renewable resource.
You've talked about a lot of different areas of discovery, but they all seem to require more and more compute resources to get to that next level of discovery. Can you talk a little bit about that?
an awful lot of research and advances in all these fields depends on modeling through mathematical equations the phenomenon, and then to solve the equations or to get an approximation to their solution, you need a computer. For example, climate modeling. If you model the atmosphere and the oceans with grids so that each little square of a grid is as big as, say, the state of Colorado, maybe the resulting answer to simulate what's going on in weather would not be very accurate. Nowadays, people are aiming towards a resolution where each little square is maybe 2.5 miles per side instead of 500 miles. So as you use smaller and smaller resolution, you have to do a lot more computation. What we hope to be able to do with systems like Aurora is to get to the point that you can get regional climate predictions. So, for example, for the upper Midwest, for decadal timescales, you know, 10 years, 20 years into the future, and not only climate prediction in general, but to get an estimate of the hydrologic cycle, you know, the rainfall, the water issues, which, of course, are extremely important in terms of farming as well as other things. If in addition to just the general atmosphere and the ocean, now you have very detailed models of the biochemistry of all the plants in the world and how they interact with the atmosphere, and then ice, you know, the ice shelves in the Antarctic and in Greenland and how they're melting. You add more and more things all in one very complex simulation, then you need a lot more computing power. But when you do that, then your model is closer to the real world and you can get better results.
When you look at bringing a system of this size online, what is the process that you go to with your teams to ensure that the scientists are ready to take advantage of it once it's up and running?
We put out a request for proposals from scientific projects, asking them if they are willing to be what we call early science projects. The few that are chosen, we work with closely. We give them access to the very earliest pieces of hardware of the new system possible, even simulators before there's any hardware working. The people from those projects that we work with closely start to develop their application on essentially prototype hardware. And then as more and more of the real hardware comes up and is usable, but before it's ready for production, those projects do get access to it. Now, because this will be in the very early stages, some problems will be found with the system, typically software, but also other things. But we will work very closely with the projects, figure out what's going wrong, work just as closely with Intel and Cray. And by doing that, before the system is made available to everyone, we will be able to ensure that we know how to use the system, that it's stable, and bugs that have been found have been fixed.
This is obviously a very large system that applies to Argonne's specific needs. How does this relate to the rest of the HPC community as they continue to drive innovation in building these large supercomputers?
You know, by the fact that Argonne selected it and will put it into an international user facility, it indicates this is a major direction in architectures, computers for HPC, and is likely to continue, which is important. Now, although our system will indeed be extremely large, it's made up of building blocks, and the building blocks can be even small. So many people and institutions will be able to get small versions of our system. By doing that, it will give them a way to not only do smaller scale computational science well, but also to do some of the early development of their applications in a very similar environment. So if they later need the power of Aurora, it'll be much easier for them to scale up their application to take advantage of Aurora.
Well, Paul, thank you so much for sharing this insight with us. Congratulations on the new system. We're very excited to hear about the science that is driven out of the computing at Argonne moving forward.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Visit ChipChat online at intel.com/chipchat. And for more information on data center technologies, visit intel.com/bigdata, intel.com/cloud, and intel.com/datacenteroptimization.